Hi, I'm James Schillinglaw, and I'm here for Virtual Vacation Events, The New Age of Luxury. And today we have a really wonderful panel of river cruise experts, actually some of the heads of river cruise companies all through the U.S., and they go all over the place, Europe. We have some just to the U.S. We have Asia, everywhere else. And some of the brands, I mean, obviously you're going to be familiar with. But without further ado, I want to introduce who we have, and I'm going to ask them to raise their hand when I mention them. We have Gary Murphy, who's the Vice President of Sales and also co-owner of Emma Waterways. We have Jennifer Tombaugh, who's the President of Tauk. We have Walter Littlejohn, who's the Head of River Cruising, Executive Vice President for River Cruising for Crystal River Cruises. And we have Ellen Bettridge, who's the president and CEO of Uniworld Boutique River Cruises. And last but not least, we have John Wagner, who's the, what are you, John? You're the president and CEO of American Queen Steamboat, correct?
Yes, I am. Yep.
There you go. So we have all these wonderful people here. We're going to be talking about river cruising all over the world, and especially as we emerge from the pandemic. Right now, I think, sadly, right now, John is the only one in the water, but we'll talk about that.
Yeah, I don't think it was fair having him on, James.
you're welcome. You're welcome. We had to have some hope in there, you know, but it's coming. It's coming. So let's get to the first question. How do you define luxury river cruising today? We know there's been river cruising forever, but all of your brands, you know, I consider really upscale experiences, wonderfuls. And I'm going to start with you, Jennifer. What makes for a luxury river cruise today?
I'm going to go with three P's, and that's personal care, peace of mind, and people. I think we've been saying for a while, small is big, and that is no truer now than ever before, because people want that space to also, in this case now, before it was over tourism, now it's about feeling safe and secure. Having people really care about not only their safety, it's that Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? If that's taken care of, then people can release and enjoy. But it's the people, not only to sort of see smiling faces hopefully soon again, but on the ship, but also on the destination. And we're so eager to get back and explore the local life. And I think that small group experience, again, around the people, around the peace of mind and the personal care that delivers is what's going to define luxury river cruising.
No, absolutely. Great answer. And I hope you're back in the water soon. I know we're all looking forward to that. I know one of the first things that was canceled for me was one of your new cruises on the Douro. I was going to be seeing the
new ship. We're all going to be, all of us. We're going to be
I know. That was
it.
Let's turn to John Wagner. John, I actually just got off your newest ship, the American Countess. And as we said before, you are in the water right now. You got a couple of your ships in the water and more to come. How do you define luxury river cruising today?
Yeah, so I was going to say, I was hoping you were going to let Ellen go next. And then I was going to say, whatever Jennifer and Ellen said, you know, and Walter, I'm just going with them because everybody. So number one, thanks for inviting me to this esteemed panel. It's just great to see everybody after not seeing people at Sea Trade and missing everyone. But I mean, we define luxury in the very same way. Thank you very much for being on board for the christening. As you know, we just christened the American Countess. She's on her seventh trip. The American Duchess is on her ninth trip right now. We are up and sailing. But luxury for us is the same thing. It's all about just exceeding our guests' expectations and creating amazing experiences. And it's not just one thing. It's a total package. It's the design of the boat. It's the furnishings. It's the food. It's the entertainment. It's the shore excursions. It's the hop on, hop off. You know, I think nice things like butler service and room service, those are all great amenities. But it really is just exceeding the guests' expectations. And we tell all of our crew members, you know, every guest has a different expectation. So our crew members have to spend a little extra time to find out what it is that makes it special. And we hear all the stories that for some people it was, you know, one of our band members composed a song for them. But it's all those little special things that make it luxury. Thank you.
Yeah, well, you didn't compose a song for me there then on that ship.
That wasn't, after spending time with you, that wasn't one of the things to exceed your expectations. Yours was bourbon tasting and having a great time with our guests and taking your bottle of bourbon home and everything else. So we thought that was yours, was the bourbon.
I still have it here. So I guess that is still exceeding my expectations. Let's turn to Walter. Walter, what is luxury cruising today and how has it evolved, really?
Yeah, I'll actually pivot off of something that John just spoke of, and that's the personalized service and creating these bespoke experiences for people, delivering a vacation that they want, not what we've decided it should be. Let's face it, the definition of luxury travel is timeless, right? There's always been an emphasis on personal, intimate experiences, fine service, imaginative cuisine, spacious accommodations, and that's never going to change, no matter where you are in the world or what people do. And so in river cruising today, that's our focus, is on just hitting on those right elements, particularly as well, not on board, not only on board, but also ashore in the shore excursion experiences and so forth, with the small groups and taking people, guests, to places that they simply couldn't find on their own and so forth.
No, okay, that's great. And I've actually been on all of your lines, so I know you all deliver amazing experiences. Alan, what's your definition and how has it changed really for luxury? I know, you know, I have to say when Uniworld, even before you were there years ago, I wouldn't have called Uniworld a luxury product, but then after the Tallmans came over, they definitely turned it very much into a luxury product.
Yeah, no, you know, over the years, it's been all about how we continue to elevate our brand and, you know, to truly become a floating boutique hotel. And what's great is that we all offer something really unique for our customers. And it's all about finding what is right for the right person. And it is all about those tiny noticeable touches and the things that you can help to make their vacation special for them. Okay. You know, Walter said it right. It's all about how they define it, not how we define it. You know, and I think, you know, when I think of luxury, I think of, you know, what's next that we can do to excite them. You know, just recently we put out something called a mystery cruise. Yeah, and a lot of people said to me, I was crazy. And what are you doing? And no one's going to buy this. Well, within 4 hours, we sold out the first one. And then we put out a second one and it sold out in 3 hours. So which tells us, which is good for all of us, is that everybody wants to travel. They want to get out there. And I don't care where they're going. But I think it's great because if they trust your brand and they believe in you, that's a pretty that's an awesome feeling.
Well, I know I saw that release and at first I thought, well, was this like Agatha Christie or something? And are we going to solve a mystery on board? No. It's where's it going, right?
Right. Exactly.
No, and I know you had good reception to that. Gary, sorry to be last, but you'll be first on the next question. What is luxury cruising today?
Well, I think my colleagues pretty touched upon all the really vital points, but one of the benefits of river cruising is our access to the ingredients that make a culinary experience that more special. It's not like we supply the ship at the first port. We're cruising along and we're supplying it as we cruise. So we're getting fresh poultry, fresh fish. None of the items are frozen. So if you deliver a very, very high standard culinary experience, James, they like their shore excursions better. They like the internet. All those other components come together if you really deliver a magnificent culinary experience on board. That's one of the things that we really strive for. But I think Walter also touched upon it. It's not the hardware is important, but it's the experiences you introduce your clients on shore and in a personalized way. If they want to do a specific garden, for example, if they want to go biking and meet the ship in the next port, those types of experiences that we can deliver really differentiates river cruising from very many different other types of vacation experiences, because we can control all of the touch points from beginning to end, because we have the guests on board with us. We get to know them, we get to know their wants, their desires, their needs, and we make sure we deliver them. And it's really what's driving such exponential growth in the river cruising arena.
No, and it has grown tremendously in the many years I've been covering it. And we're going to stick with you, Gary, for the next question, because obviously, and it's hard for some of you to say because you're not back in the water yet, or you are back in the water but not have guests. But how has the pandemic, or how is it going to change a river cruising, if at all? What is going to have to change with the physical product you offer when you get back to sailing, if you haven't already?
Well, you know, we learned a lot last year when we were cruising in Europe. with it for the German speaking market, and what changes we had to identify and put into operation because of the protocols that were presented to us while we're cruising. We're now changing to action stations. You know, we're not calling it a buffet anymore. We're changing to action stations because we anticipate they won't allow buffets anymore. So we're going to action stations. So you still have the benefit of all the different choices, but the food is being served to you. We've always had a full menu, but it's nice to have those choices. I think because of the capacity controls, we're now going to have dining in the staterooms. Right, so that they can be able to have a breakfast out on their balcony.
Right.
We've always had smaller groups, James, but COVID has made us really rethink on how we're operating and just moving forward. And I think you'll find that we're coming out with a lot of very positive moves to make that river cruise experience even that more enjoyable. And like last year, when we had over 1,500 passengers travel, we didn't have one situation where COVID was transferred amongst any of our guests.
Wow, that's great. That's fantastic. So you did well.
Because of the guidelines, we were forced to, and we're very positive to make in the operation of the ship.
No, that's fantastic that you have that record. And Ellen, a sort of same question. How do you think the pandemic has changed your product or will change your product and luxury river cruising?
Yeah, I think we're going to have to communicate even better than we ever have before. I think it's going to be constantly changing, and we all have to just be very flexible and ready for the next move. I think that, you know, customers are going to need to know, you know, whether you're in Italy, whether you're in France, whether you're in Eastern Europe, they're all going to have different protocols and different rules that we have to follow. So I think the key here is just how we best communicate and how we best really take care of the guests. And then, and first and foremost, that they are comfortable with us helping them make those decisions and to, you know, be comfortable in their environment. You know, it is about changing maybe a little bit of our dining, you know, encouraging people to eat in the other restaurants, not just eat into one. If necessary, have, you know, reservations in the different dining venues, you know, have the action station. I love that word, Gary. But, you know, take advantage of that during your breakfast time so that people can either order off the menu or have be served by a waiter. So those little things will have to change. But at the same time, I think what we all are focused on is ensuring that we still deliver a great experience. What people want is to travel. They want to see the destination. They want to be with their loved ones. They want to have fun. That's what's really been missing is people having fun. And I think that's what's most important is we still make that happen.
No, absolutely. And we definitely want to get back and have fun on the rivers. Walter, you know, obviously you've had to deal with the pandemic has caused you have to deal with a lot of different countries now and their protocols and all kinds of things. And I'm not even sure when you're hearing things will be back and you'll be allowed to go. But how has the pandemic changed river cruising?
Yeah, so I mean, my colleagues have brought up all great points. For us, it's almost as if our ships knew, or the designer of our ships knew, that this was going to happen, and we're kind of already laid out in such a way that it's very easy for us to accommodate social distancing. We'd already been doing en-suite dining, where you can actually be served course by course. And so forth. But Ellen brings up a very good point about communication. It's about managing the expectations of the guests, particularly when the industry first restarts, right? There will be some nuances. There will be some last minute changes here and there that may be, called for by the local governments and so forth. But at the end of the day, our mantra is always to make sure that the guest has an immersive, fantastic experience. And I think we'll all deliver that in our own different ways. For us, the dining won't change any because we had already been offering a la carte dining for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We have multiple restaurants. We'll likely offer and make sure that all of the restaurants are open all of the time so that we have more seating available for guests and so forth, and we can go out with full occupancy. Mm-hmm. But we're definitely working very hard, and I know all of us are, to make sure that the experience that we deliver is as close to how it was pre-pandemic as possible, right? Because that's what we've all built our brands on, is those experiences. And we found ways to sort of pivot to get around or to work with whatever challenges are facing us now. And it'll be great in the end once we start coming back to service.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to that. And John, you're already in the water, so you've already had the experience of doing this. I know I spent some serious time in the Hilton Ballroom getting my my COVID test before I went on. And you, at that point, you didn't require that I have a vaccine. You have put in a vaccine requirement. I'm going to ask the other panelists about that too. But what's your experience? How has the pandemic changed what you've offered?
Yeah, so thanks for that, James. Because we are up and sailing, we've got to actually practice our protocols, check, see what works, pivot a little bit on things that might not. So you're absolutely right. As of July 1st, we are mandating 100% vaccine for both crew and passengers. I'm pleased to say that I think we're already up to 60% of our crew is already vaccinated. And I just got off a week hosting a founder's crew, and I think almost 90% of our guests, because they're in that demographic, already had their vaccination. The things that we've had to do, Alan, as you know, I mean, we require a PRC test before anyone can ever get on board. So what's changed is our protocols for check-in and before and after. We suggest that you get a PRC test prior to ever flying, because the last thing in the world we want is to have you check in the hotel, get your test results, and find you test positive and not be allowed on the boat. So we suggest you get a test, you pay for that. We've included a pre-hotel night stay. As you said, you stayed at the Hilton. And so at the Hilton, when you check in the night before, we have Vicann Medical Solutions that comes down. The nurses there, they have you fill out a questionnaire. They take a nasal swab. You get those results on your phone within 12 hours. So in the morning when you board, you know, you're already in the bubble. And so now you know 100% of the crew and 100% of the passengers have been tested. And I do have to say, anytime I get off the boat, you know, and I have to go back on, if it's a week later, I still have to have a test. I'm up to 9 tests that I've already had. So my nose is getting sensitive. But once you're on board, it's really interesting. We have put hand washing stations outside of all the dining room. And we've changed for social distancing, where there used to be open dining, you know, one seating for dinner, one show. We split that up into two. And that's a difference with social distancing. Our shore excursions, we can't have the hop on, hop off anymore. Our buses that carry 49 passengers, we limited to 24. But I will say, James, and I think you have to see it on the Countess, you know, CDC does allow you to remove your mask when you're eating and drinking. And so it's our goal to make sure everybody is always eating and drinking. The big disadvantage is really, really, really tough on our crew. They have to wear a mask all the time. You know, they're living together. We've had to limit, you know, them getting off the vessel. We allow them to get off only if they go for a run or a bike ride or anything else, but we keep them in that bubble. And so we're trying to balance safety, which is number one for all of us, and, you know, the needs and wants of our crew. But I do have to say, it's worked much better than I thought. Our guests are they're just glad to be back out and cruising. And they understand, you know, this is a little bit of an inconvenience, but they are so glad to be back out there. And we've all heard about the pent-up demand. I'm just here to tell you, it is real. As you guys know, we're pretty much booked for a whole season. We're trying to get the Queen up and going, and we'll have a little bit of extra inventory. But the pent-up demand is there. The guests want to travel when they're on board. They understand about masks, but they still have a great time. And so, it's been a great experience for us.
No, and it was a great experience for us just being on the water, even though we didn't really do a real cruise. That was an inaugural cruise, and but we did have a couple of nice shore excursions as well. Now, Jennifer, what do you think is going to change for your line when you get back on the river? And also, I guess the corollary question, are you going to require vaccines?
Yeah, these are all great questions. And I know all of us are dealing with this every single day. And by the way, it all changes every day. So Ellen, you're right about communication. I really just said to the team, hold on for the month of May, because every day there's going to be some new piece of info that causes us to pivot and in a good way, I think, towards reopening. It's exciting, John, to hear what all all the delight that your guests are our guests who will be joining you have as well. So we too have been really lucky. Actually, our partners at Scylla, they were the first on the water in Europe last June. And so we've had to unfortunately have European guests that aren't top guests join our ships. The good news is we've gotten all that great operating experience under our belt. And we have learned a ton. And it is that sort of do, operate, learn, repeat, change, pivot. And because of that, I think a lot of the things that you hear us all talk about are going to end up being table stakes. Like there is going to be this opportunity for choice in dining, for the cleanliness standards are you know beyond high. All the protection that we're all taking is really going to be what the guest sort of expects. And so, yes, of course, we've made those modifications. There's sanitizing stations everywhere. We have opportunities for guests to eat in their rooms if they choose. Everything is table service for both food and beverage. There's no standing at the bar, unfortunately, right now. But again, that could all change by the fall, by the way.
Right.
But you know, we're really lucky too, like Walter, to have such great space on board, lots of public space. You know, the half of our fleet is 49 cabins or less, the mast is 64. So we've got lots of space to let people kind of roam a bit. And I think that provides some comfort too. So we're all learning, right? And we're adjusting, and we'll continue to do so to make sure that those guests feel, again, safe. And you just, again, it's back to that peace of mind. You just want those worries to go away so they can be present in the destination and really take advantage of all those great local experiences that we want to tailor and customize for them.
Yeah, the question I would have for you is are you going to require vaccinations and do you require testing?
So the, and sorry, Gary, I know you wanted to,
well, I was just going to say, Jennifer, and with the experience of everyone cruising last year, the guests really had a great time. Even
yeah,
with
they loved it. It's the same thing of what John is saying. You know, people just want to get out there. And so this gets to this question about vaccination. And boy, this is the lightning rod topic, you know, again, across not only our industry, but seemingly every industry about return to work, about schools and the like. What we've decided is to go forth with a travel well pledge. And so, look, as Arthur Tauch said in 1925, all I want is a congenial party. And we want that group, that bubble, to have that kind of mutual respect for one another and for our partners and for our Tauch directors. So we ask everyone involved in that bubble, and I love that word, John, that we come together and sign a pledge that I'm either going to be vaccinated or I'm going to be COVID-free tested, negative tested. And so that gives that peace of mind. Now, the good news is that well over 95% in our last survey, we continue to poll our guests, told us that they're either fully vaccinated or they're going to be fully vaccinated by the time that they do travel. We acknowledge that there's sometimes for different reasons that people cannot get vaccinated. So we wanted to allow that choice. But the peace of mind, again, for the traveler is you're traveling with an overwhelmingly high number of vaccinated guests. And those that, and I will say there is an exception when the destination or the partner requires it. So all of our guests, when they travel with John on the Mississippi, that they'll be fully vaccinated. When they go to Iceland, they'll be fully vaccinated, right? So that type of mandate is really, we look to what those destinations require. But at bare minimum, it's that travel well pledge that we want everyone to agree to so that you can kind of, again, remove that anxiety.
So you have the travel well pledge. What about the rest of you? What are the requirements that you're going to have or you've already thought about? Gary, you had raised your hand about that.
I really like what Jennifer's doing, and I really like how Ellen's communicating her message too. Ellen, yours is similar to a pledge, isn't it?
Yeah, we have a traveler declaration. So very similar, Jennifer, same thing. It's, you know, asking everyone, you know, to number one, to listen to the crew when they're on board as well, and to take care of each other, make sure our crew and our customers are all safe. You know, you need to either have a vaccine or that you've got a negative PCR test. You know, it's that's what we're asking. And we're just because unfortunately, maybe not everyone can get a vaccine for health reasons or different things. So, but we want to make sure that everyone stays safe.
No, absolutely. And Walter, same question. I mean, what do you have? What are the requirements going to be?
Yeah, so Crystal's sort of been leading in this area for quite some time. We were the first North American brand to go out and say that we would do COVID testing on everyone. And then we became the first North American brand to say all guests and crew have to be vaccinated. And we're sticking with that. We want to make sure that we can create the kind of bubble where people can put their mind at ease and also sort of fall in line with what the local authorities prefer as well. We found that with the restart of our ocean liners, for instance, where many of them are going, the governments were much more receptive to knowing and hearing that our crew and guests were vaccinated. And we recognize that not everyone can take an opportunity to get vaccinated this year, but we have 2022 open for those who can travel next year. And in a few hours time, we'll announce that we're opening 2023 as well. And so we'll create opportunities for those that can't get vaccinated right away to still travel with us in the future.
No, that's great. It sounds like you all have great systems in place or are getting in place to make sure everybody's safe. I want to turn to
James.
Yes. Okay.
One of the challenges, and we're following the same as Jennifer and Ellen, right? That a negative test result, and we'll also provide testing when they're disembarking. So when they enter the United States, they also have to have that negative test result. One of the challenges we have is that, you know, when you say you're promising everyone to have the vaccination or not, is that what's the certification process of someone having a vaccination?
Oh, that, yeah. Well, it's that little card, Gary, the one that we're all going to lose.
I think they sell them in bars for $20 right now. So
mine's 10 already. It's going down in price. Right? It is tough. It is tough to find. And I know that is an issue that is this it? Is this as good as a passport now, right? So yeah, it's going to be interesting. I do want to turn to maybe some of the positives that, if there is a positive out of this whole pandemic period, in terms of the innovations that you've made to your cruise products while we've been in this pause for cruising, and also whether that's innovations in the onboard services, the product, or in the itineraries. Ellen, you had mentioned, obviously, you started the mystery cruise, but and that sold well for you. But what are some of the other innovations that Uniworld has developed during this period?
You know, we definitely have used this pause, this time, just to kind of, not that we haven't been busy, that's for sure. But we have thought about our experiences, and we, you know, spent some time looking at the customer results. And a few of the things that we're adding is that in 2022, we'll be adding something called Nights Out. So giving people more excursions in the evening off the ship to experience the nightlife in destinations. So we'll start with about 50% of our destinations in 2022, and then the remainder in we'll have available on all itineraries in 2023. So that'll be announced very shortly. So I just told you.
Oh, that's great.
So we're excited about that. We also expanded our cruise and rail offering. So we originally had started just having a cruise and rail one itinerary, Zurich to Venice, and then joining our new ship in Italy, the super ship La Venezia. You know, and it's sold so incredibly well that we've added four additional itineraries now. So
it's now rail and river now, right?
Rail and river, that's right. So together with our friends at Golden Eagle Luxury Trains, you know, it's just river and rail they're very similar, and they have a very similar approach to what the experience is for guests. So we're excited about this, and obviously the guests are also really enjoying it. So Bringing that out. And then we're also going to offer something called Rivers of the World. So watching all of our ocean friends and how well they're doing selling their world cruises, we decided to work on that as well. So it's been in the works for a while. It's been difficult to figure out how to get it all together. So we'll be launching it for 2023. And it'll start off in Egypt. And then you'll end up at the end in Lisbon. So you'll go to Italy and to Budapest, all over the world. So it's a lot of fun.
No, it sounds like this. And then, Gary, actually, I'll turn to you because you also have something like that, but you have most of the rivers of Europe. It's almost like a 45-day river cruise or something like that?
48 days.
48 days.
And like Ellen's mystery cruise, when we launched this Seven River Journey, Ellen, we were shocked how well it sold. But one of the benefits we're seeing is people are looking for longer travel experiences. They've been pent up. They've got extra vacation time. They haven't been spending money on travel, James. And when they're traveling now, they're going, not taking a 1 week river cruise. They're taking 1, 2, and 3 weeks. And we sort of identified that trend and came out with the Seven Rivers. And now we came out with the second one, and both have a few cabins left. And I'm sure our colleagues are seeing this too, is that the ships are selling from the top down. People are spending more money than ever before. And we've actually written in a program in our system now that when the travel advisor calls in and they ask which cruise will this line up with, so let's say I'm doing a Seine cruise. Well, which other cruises will this line up with their schedule? And then right. We could also provide the transfers between the ships. So we've seen that as a benefit. But on the sales side, this world we're in right now of Zooms, I mean, it is a fantastic way for us to communicate with our travel advisor partners. It's a fantastic way to jointly reach their clients. We've done over 3,000 of these since the pandemic stepped in, where we're doing a Zoom in conjunction with the travel advisor. I'm a peddler. I don't like it. I like going out and having a adult beverage with my travel advisor friends. But
I never knew that about you, Gary. I don't know.
I don't see this disappearing, right? We're going to have to live with this type of communication. And it's a fantastic asset to be able to introduce river cruising in conjunction with the travel advisor to the clients. All of our marketing now, we've just done our second direct mail piece. All of the marketing we're doing puts a travel advisor as a call to action. Our system now is identified the last person that touched that potential client. Even our emails now, we're putting them back to James at ABC Travel. So we're really learning how to better market in conjunction with our travel advisor partners during this COVID, because we're not out on the road.
So in terms of you're making incredible innovations within your itineraries and the way you market to travel advisors during this period. So those are two good things that came out of this.
I don't know if it's good for business, but I don't know if it's good for my lifestyle.
Yeah, you know what, though, Gary, I got to tell you, I just did my first business trip last week. Went to Florida, of all places, right? Out to Orlando. And it was awesome. I have never been so excited to be sitting on American Airlines and to be at a hotel and be with travel advisors. And it was like, I felt like I'm a new person, just, you know, seeing people and talking to them and selling travel, which is what we all love to do. And so, yes, the Zoom, I agree with you. It's here to stay. I think this is a great way to communicate. But there's still nothing better than face-to-face. There's absolutely nothing
100%.
Better.
100%.
We're an industry of people, right? Yeah. That's what we're all about.
Well, let me turn to Walter. I mean, what are the innovations that Crystal River Cruises has discovered during this period?
Yeah, so there are a number of product innovations that we're working on that I actually can't speak of other than those that we did in the areas of health and safety. But I'm actually more excited about some of the itinerary developments that we have sort of announced for 2022 and will announce more in 2023. And we're kind of going in the reverse direction of some of my colleagues here. We're not looking to specifically longer voyages, though we have added a really nice set of 10-night Rhine and Mosel cruises in 2022 aboard Crystal Mahler. I'm really excited about those because of the time of the year they're going during the wine festivals on the Mosel and so forth. But it's the shorter cruises that I'm the most excited about. We announced a really beautiful lineup of Rhine and Mosel Summer Escape 5-night cruises starting in 2022. They're sailing in July and August aboard Crystal Mahler. And, you know, with those, we're looking at a couple of different opportunities here, and I kind of consider them to all be incremental. They're all going to lead to the growth of the river industry, which is important. For one, I think there's a great audience out there who wants to sample a river cruise and make sure it's the right thing for them. And a 5-night combined with some land extensions is a great way for people to do that, but also for the younger demographic. So, and there are lots of studies out there. They're saying basically there are two people who are coming to the travel market right away. It's millennials and it's the affluent, of course.
Right.
And for millennials and people in Gen X, people in their 40s and 50s and so forth, who are still working actively, very busy calendars and so forth, a 5-night river cruise and a fabulous destination, places that they can't easily get to on their own, staying in hotels and so forth, is the perfect vacation lineup for them. And so really excited about those. We have some additional shorter voyages that will be announced today with our 2023 deployment that I'm also excited about. They're on the Danube and other areas of the Rhine as well. So I'm really looking forward to those. But I think it's going to be fantastic opportunities for people to explore in a different way.
So we go from sort of world river cruises to shorter river cruises, samplers that can
exactly.
be designed for for the younger demographic, which I've always advocated. You got to get some of the younger people on. And I'm not going to go into You by Uniworld right now. but that's obviously one way that Ellen has gone there. I want to turn to John in terms of, obviously, I just experienced some of your innovations, but what has come out of this for American Queen?
Yeah, James, as we continue to expand our fleet and have 4 boats on the rivers and 2 on the Great Lakes, and then looking at expedition cruise lines in Alaska, I think now for our river boats, we've really started to segment that into 3 different groups, you know, which is a culinary tour. So like right now, we have Mark Gillespie on board, you know, one of the famous chef. And then we've started to do entertainment cruises. So we just booked, we just had 2 cruises with Lee Greenwood, and he's got 4 more concerts. And then we have our specialty. We on the American Countess this week, we have our first golf cruise. And then we've got quilting cruises. And I just got off the Founders cruise. So we're looking at breaking that into more niche markets that people are interested. The bourbon cruises, you got to be on board for 2 of our bourbon tastings, which people love. You also had, you know, the culinary, you had Regina, you had Dickie Brennan on board.
We didn't go hungry, let me tell you that. That
was not go hungry. Yeah, we had Debbie Thomas on board, Paul Whalen-Smith, so a lot of executive chefs. But as we are looking at longer cruises too, you know, 2 years ago we came up with the Mighty Mississippi, which is New Orleans to St. Paul, 3 weeks up, 2 weeks back. But now with the Victory Cruise Lines, we did a trip on the Illinois River a couple years ago. So now for 2023, what we're looking at, we're not going to get up to a 40-day cruise, but we can get almost to a 30-day cruise by taking you from New Orleans all the way up the Illinois River, busing you a short 40 miles to Chicago, putting you up at a hotel at Navy Pier where we have our dinner cruise boat, to take you out on dinner cruise boat, put you on the Victory 1 or the Victory 2, and take you from Navy Pier all the way to Mackinac Island, Sault Ste. Marie, Detroit, Cleveland, and all the way to Toronto. So a mix between the Mighty Mississippi and all 5 Great Lakes. And so a 30-day cruise. So those are some of the things that we're working on.
No, that's wonderful. The itineraries are sound of all amazing. And Jennifer, same question in terms of what has Talc found during this pandemic that is sort of the bright light, the positives that came out of this?
Yeah, well, there are some things that we will keep and carry with us, right? And that are really great. And boy, there seems to be a theme of eating, drinking, and socializing on this call. And so I'm going to go with that and talk about. No. I like it. I'm going to stay with that. I will pick up on Gary's comment about the benefits. One of the things we will keep is Zoom from a sales and from a connection perspective. I think we've now have well over 2 million different touches that we've had with new newsletters. We've had record webinar attendance, as I think everybody has, for all the different town halls and sessions that we've had. And that's been an awesome way for us to continue that connection with our very valued travel advisors and their clients as well. So that's been terrific in terms of innovation and things we're doing now that we never had skill to do before necessarily or hadn't tapped into at least. And so now we're experts there. But as I look forward to 2022, I'm going to stay with the events and the celebrations here because we're so excited about Floriade in 2022 in Europe and looking forward to that amazing new event that, well, not new because it's done every 10 years, but the emphasis that they have on sustainability and the sort of biospheres that they're building around sustainable ecotourism, I guess, for the years to come.
Sure.
We're very excited about Oberammergau finally coming back in 2022. We all missed that terribly last year, and we want to resume with that. It looks like Oktoberfest cruising will be back, unfortunately not this year, but next year, and having that as well. And just personally, because we were just, as you know, James, days away from the christening of the Andarina before the world shut down, we are so looking forward to bringing our guests, hopefully later this summer, but certainly into 2022 on the Andarina, on the Douro.
Right. In the Douro.
Across Portugal and Spain. That's been a hot area for us. And we've done a lot of innovation, not only with that ship, which we'll be telling you more about later, but which is amazing, but in the destination as well. And I found really unique ways to showcase that beautiful those beautiful countries. But certainly
Portugal. Certainly, we're looking forward to getting back there too as well. But I want to close this out with some advice to travel advisors. And this will be the last question. So, and try to, you know, give some encouraging words to them about how should travel advisors be selling luxury river cruises now and in the future? Has anything changed in the, obviously Zoom and all kinds of things, fundamental way they should sell river cruising? I'll start with you, Ellen.
Yeah, you know, I think as a travel advisor, the one thing they have to continue to do is just ask the right questions of their customers. Find out what they want out of their vacation. We all offer amazing experiences. And as advisors, they have to ask the right questions of where did you travel last? What type of hotels do you like? You know, to really understand what the customer wants out of their vacation. And I would encourage advisors to do that even more. And also pick up the phone and reach out to their customers. Don't wait for them to come to them. They are ready to travel and they sometimes just need that little bit of a nudge, and the world is opening up. And so they better, you know, get to them quick before the space is gone.
Absolutely. Now, John, same question. What should, how should travel advisors be selling your line, be selling river cruises in general? You have the advantage right now because you're operating, and but you know, and you said you're getting booked out really this year, but for the future, for 22, 23.
Yeah, so I think, you know, we all have slightly different products, but all great products. Like I said, I'm just honored to be with a team of such professionals. We all have great products. You know, I think for us, it you know, it's the travel advisors that looking for someone that's the Tom Sawyer experience. You know, Europe is completely different. And as we know, there's about 600,000 people every year from North America that go over to Europe because they have such a great offering. For us, it's a Tom Sawyer, Huck Finn experience. It's bourbon, it's Americana, it's getting to know our country. And for some of our older guests that don't want to fly, we have a drive-to market. James, even when you were on the Countess, I mean, we had 30 people from Louisville, friends and family. We all took a bus home. You know,
I know. I saw you. I saw that. I saw the dust of your bus. I know.
I know. So, you know, we all have something different to offer. And again, just as Ellen said, find out what it is your guests want. We all have great products. We'll all exceed their expectations.
Okay. So, Walter, what about in the future for how should advisors sell river cruising? Is it going to be any different?
It should be different in that advisors owe it to themselves to be more intently focused on selling river cruising coming out of the pandemic because our commission checks are so great. And so there's a big benefit, of course, to the advisor to focus on this business. Like Ellen said, qualifying the client and making sure they are matched with the right river cruise experience. We're all great, but we're all also very different in our own unique ways. And so putting the right client on the right ship is really important. But do focusing on the business and really thinking outside of the box as to who is a river cruise client. It truly can be anyone, because river cruising is the best way to see Europe. And so anyone who has an interest in going to Europe can be on a river cruise very easily and very comfortably. And so thinking outside of the box and making sure that they're reaching out to their clients and educating them about the river cruising as a vacation option is the first step they should take.
Absolutely. And Jennifer, same question in terms of what should travel advisors be focusing on right now in terms of selling your product and river cruising in general?
Yeah, well, two things I would emphasize in addition to all the great points already mentioned. Book with confidence. You know, there are great flexible payment terms right now. And I think that's going to start to go away through 2022 as airlines and others start to see more demand. So for us right now, we have more time to make those final deposits. There's no change fees. You can book with that peace of mind knowing that a refund is available if you decide that you don't want to, you know, postpone for a later date. I would also say book with confidence knowing that we're all worrying for you. We're just here on a screen representing, you know, dozens, hundreds of people behind us that are daily doing diligence to make sure that the guests are going to have the best experience that they can, that their safety is going to be taken care of, that they're monitoring these changing rules about which countries are opening, what borders are opening, what the protocols are. I know the advisors are doing this as well, but it's overwhelming and it's very hard to keep up with the constant changes right now. And it's happening fast and furious, but we're here. We're here as partners to provide that information and to make sure that you've got the tools at hand from a booking perspective to have that flexibility to get your guest, I think Ellen said it really well, on the right cruise for them.
Absolutely. Now, Gary, I'll let you close it out. I know that, what do you want to tell our travel advisors out there about how to sell as we emerge from this pandemic? And then obviously you're all publishing itineraries much more farther in advance. You're putting in new products. You're doing all kinds of things. What else could they do?
You know what? Now is not a time for you to be coy, right? You need to be brave. We had a historic booking month last 2 months. So people want to book, and they're going to book with those travel advisors that have last touched them. Reach out, like Alan said, make a phone call, set up a Zoom. We have our entire sales team in place to help do all the heavy lifting. We could all do this for you. Use us as a conduit to reach your clients. Is it right time? I'm sensitive. Yes, it's the right time. They want to get something.
That was last year's question. Now is the right time.
Now is the right time. We're open for obviously for 22, open for 23. They want to have something to look forward to. And you need to plant that seed now and get the business, right? Do not be coy, be brave, go out there, work with us. We don't mind if you do a virtual event with us and you only get two people, right? Because it's that first step. And once you do it once, you'll say, gosh, this isn't that hard. And we can do it again and again. Be brave, reach out to your clients, pick up the phone, book a Zoom, but don't sit and wait for business to get to you.
Well, that's great advice. And I think hopefully all of our travel advisors out there who are seeing us today are going to take that to heart. Go out, book a luxury river cruise. Do it right now. Stop watching us. But I do have to say, please go out. We have some other wonderful panels at this event. We have some exhibitors on the trade show floor, the virtual trade show floor. Please take a look at what they have to offer and take all the advice you just heard to heart. This is really the cream of the crop of luxury river cruising sitting in front of you, right on your screen. You didn't even have to go anywhere, which is, I don't know. Some days I say that's good. Sometimes that's bad. We would all prefer to be at an event somewhere all together and telling you this in person. And then you'd be all coming up and asking us questions. We're not doing it for this one, but at least it gives you some idea. But again, I want to thank all of you for participating in this event. This has really been a great panel, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
That's great. That's fun.
Nice to meet everyone.
I'm James Schillinglaw for Virtual Vacation Events.